Okay, it's the Bio Show. We're back again. We're going to try to do a great recording this time. Just so much is going on in the world of biology.
I know.
In the planet Earth. We got Sarah back with Sam here, your host. Co-host is Sarah, but Sarah may as well be the host. Hostess.
Yeah, it's okay. You're doing great.
We'll mix it up together. We'll figure out what's going on in the world of biology. How have you been? How are things?
Good. Crazy, you?
Crazy me or crazy and how are you?
No, crazy for me and how are you?
It's crazy. I mean, things are just busy this time of year. It's spring/summer and everybody's on the go. Beautiful day. And then you get these weird reports coming in of the Wi-Fi stuff heats up tissues. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm a biologist. You're telling me, and then you think about it, it's like, well, lasers, that's a wavelength, but it's it's like concentrated energy waves. Yeah. Like,
and isn't Wi-Fi like the same as, or like 5G is even more so than microwave? So, I mean, think of it that way.
Oh,
yikes.
I hadn't thought of it that way. No, but I was at a MUFON meeting once, and I told you this lady came up to me after I shared this experience I had, and she came up to me and she said, did you know your mind, your thoughts are at the same wavelength as your Wi-Fi router? I'm like, what did you just tell me? And she is, you know, one of the sharper in the bunch. And, you know, I'm open to this. I'm open. I'm just trying to, like, do I go to Google Scholar and start looking up peer-reviewed literature articles on this? Like, how do you figure this out?
Yeah.
How did she know?
Right.
Didn't have a follow-up with her because I got mauled by a crowd because they're all interested. But she was onto something, I think. And now something going on politically or something getting reviewed with the safety of Wi-Fi routers now?
Is there? Because I really don't think they care about our safety.
Well, some do, some don't.
Some do and some don't.
Yeah. I think some are in there fighting for the person, and other people are getting paid to fight for the agenda. And
Definitely.
But you're right. You're right. There are things like, I do have an EMF, an electromagnetic frequency reader. It's like a little handheld phone. Yeah. And you can walk around town and I can pick up cell towers. I can pick up Wi-Fi spots. There's no doubt about it. Like, you can pick up these energy waves. You cannot see them because it's not part of the visible spectrum that, you know, 380
nanometers. You should take them.
700.
You need to take that into a graveyard that has new graves.
Get out. No.
I've heard that people that got that crap have MAC addresses now.
That's what I heard too. No way.
Yes.
Have you tried it or no? You haven't tried it.
No, I don't have one of those.
Okay, the proof's in the pudding. I got to go try this then. I'm not just going to sit here and twiddle my thumbs. I got to go do this. Okay.
And guess what? You can report back to us.
Okay. Yes. I've got the reader. And I was just going to say, there's a place right down the street. I think there's some new burials there. But although in Washington State, you know what they're doing now? Terramation.
What?
Terramation. Have you heard of this?
Is it like cremation?
It is like cremation, but it is, think Terra and Earth. It's back to the Earth. They dump you in some mud and let you compost.
Oh.
You just compost.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Well, I don't know. If it's in my garden, I can jump in the pit. You know, kids eat tomatoes the next year.
But how long would that take you to? I bet it would take a long time to dissolve back into the Earth, though. Maybe not as long as we think.
I think
and you have to be deep enough that animals couldn't dig you up and eat you.
Yeah, then it gets anaerobic, and you know, processes take longer without oxygen present. Like, all the oxidative processes take way longer. But I think you make a good point. Like some, like the flesh stuff, gone. You know, the bowels, all this. You've got so many bacteria. What happens to your normal flora after you die? Well, your hair, the bones. Right. I think that stuff you could dig up. Well, what's happens in like the forensic reports? They go dig up, you know, lost and found. They find the bones, obviously teeth and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't have the data on how long these tissues last. I imagine the flesh goes pretty quick.
Right.
You know, look, temperature, moisture, pH, those all probably have an impact on decay rate.
Yeah.
But you're saying that these people that got the shot might still give off a signal even if those poor little bodies have been in the ground for a while?
That's what I hear.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
One way to find
out.
You
should totally check it out. Yes, because...
What about these? Okay, so energy waves. What about these energy waves in these haunted houses? I had a friend, she just bought a house, and she's got somebody to come, like, clear the house, like, whoosh, with her hands. Like, she's going to clear... I think she's got some connections with the Native American tribes. She's going to clear the house for this friend that just bought the house. There was a death, and there's a murder in there, like, decades ago.
Happened in my apartment.
What, there was energy, like spirits around there, or?
You want to hear the story? Because there was.
I do.
Okay,
what happened?
There was a ghost in there, and I had been told after I moved in, like a couple of years after I moved in, I was told that there hadn't been anybody living in that apartment for over 2 years because somebody had been shot in it. And then maybe 2 more years, 1 or 2 years. Then the stuff started happening in the house, in the apartment. I was in bed and something fell off the kitchen counter and I got up to go look. This was at night and there was nothing there, but I had dishes on the, on the side of the, on the counter drying on a towel and one of them had fallen off, but they were totally, way behind, there was plenty of room.
Wait, fallen off or
very nicely.
You're saying it got knocked off. It didn't fall.
Yeah.
Fall. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So the implication is there's energy there.
Well, yes, but okay. But also wait.
Okay. Go.
Also, there's a few things that happened. Okay.
Okay.
In the hallway going from the living room to the bedroom, a few times the electric box door was open. The first time it happened, I shut it and then it was open again pretty soon after that. So I tried using tape to keep it closed because I was like, what the fuck is happening? At first, the first time I tried to use it, it was like painted shut. So I had to get like a screwdriver, and open it because one of the things had tripped. So I had to, turn it back. But then after I had taped it, I used duct tape because the first tape didn't hold. And then one night I came home from work and I had just vacuumed that day before work and there was mud tracks, dirt tracks, all the way to the box and the box was open. And I was like, I was pissed and I called my boyfriend at the time. I was like, did you walk through the apartment with muddy shoes? And he said, no, I didn't, I swear. And so I went on, I was still, yeah, right. I mean, unless he has death wish, no, I'm just kidding. but I posted, this was when I was still on Facebook, and I posted and asked if anybody, there was something else, I don't remember what happened, but it was kind of leaning a little more malevolent. And I asked if anybody knew somebody in the area that knew how to clear a place of spirits. And one of my friends said, yes, my friend Jack does that. And so I contacted him and we had a long conversation on the phone. And then he came over on a specified day and he had a fee, because it was his living. It wasn't expensive, it was fine. And so he came over and we talked about stuff and we asked questions of the spirit and everything. And it was the one that had been shot there. And so he was like, I've never taught anybody how to do this because it's my livelihood, but I'm getting the message that I'm supposed to teach you. And I was like, that would be amazing. Cause I tried to do it myself and it did not work. And he's like, okay. So we did it together. And then, we sat back down. Oh yeah. And it would smell like cigarette smoke by it too, if the spirit was there. And so we sat down thinking it was done. And then I started to smell the cigarette smoke again. I was like, oh, I don't think he left. And sure enough, the box was open again. I was like, kidding? And I was like, maybe, because he was like Middle Eastern or something. So I was like, maybe he just needs to have it explained a little more plainly. So I was like, let me. And so I explained his options and said, you have to go. And he did go. And I was like, he's like, I couldn't have said that any better myself. I was like, thank you. So it was very successful.
And you got a compliment. Look, but here's the thing. Okay, let's go back to your dish story, because this is kind of interesting. Why would this, just a hypothetical, let's say a ghost did come in and say, hey, I'm going to tip that cup onto the floor. Why do ghosts always knock stuff off counters? Is that the energy? Like,
because they're trying to get your attention.
But why not tap you on the shoulder?
It could be that it's a new, you know, spirit. Like, okay, usually spirits that stay around, it's because of trauma and they don't realize they're dead a lot of the time, you know. So it could be that they're new and they're trying to see what they can do from that side, that realm, or, you know, or they're trying to get somebody's attention, like they need help or something, or they're trying to scare you, or there could be a million different reasons.
Yeah, but then how do you interpret it? It's like, look, they knocked the cup off. Are they trying to tell you something? Are they going to try to get your attention? Are they frustrated? Are they new? Is it a breakthrough from the other realm? For me, I got to see like a pattern. This is what scientists do. They look for these patterns. There are so many anecdotal stories. Now, I'm also not going to poo-poo it. I'm not going to say there's no such thing, but how do we as like the scientific community detect this stuff? So we got this EMF reader. Do I use the infrared reader where you can look at heat, or what are the signals?
They have so many different types of machines that they use when they, like, have you ever watched any of those Ghost Hunter shows?
I saw
like they have the different
bits and pieces. Yeah. I just wasn't impressed. I'm like, God, I could, it's a Blair Witch Project in 30 minutes. I mean, I was not impressed. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, and then you know what, you put me in like a new house that's dark and with a couple flashlights and an EMF reader, and I'm going to pick up something and it's going to scare the crap out of me. So I don't know.
I'm
not saying no. I'm just saying I need to do this myself. And so thank you for the recommendation. Like, I got to go out to this, you know, new burial and see.
Yes.
Go read it. Go. Now, I have done this. People used to tell me, oh, you can take a fluorescent light, like a compact fluorescent bulb, not an incandescent with the tungsten filament, but like a compact fluorescent. Go stand under some. These are transmission, not distribution lines. Okay, we're talking power transmission lines. Go stand under some of those and in the night, and you will see that bulb lights up. Okay, because there's enough energy coming out of those power lines that will heat up the gas that's inside. And sometimes, you know, I don't know what gas is in that, like trapped in, but it's some noble gas that's trapped inside this incandescent bulb that then gets excited. And of course, as what happens is the electrons get excited as they fall back down to like a lower energy level, like an orbital that's closer to the nucleus of the atom, they give off a photon. So the bulb lights up, right? They get excited and then they release a photon when they chill out. Right. I have seen that happen. I've seen this.
Yes. Yeah, right.
I've done it.
But also, what about the free energy machines that they've tried to like kill off and everything?
Now hold on a second, get energy from the air. I know. Now Tesla had this Tesla tower. Yeah, he had the Tesla tower. I think from the one that he did, it had so much energy that it actually sort of self-destructed, and he was trying to build a bigger one. And and I don't know if it was tied to Westinghouse at the time, but they came in and killed it and said, no, you're not doing that. It's got to be on a meter. We got to meter these people.
Yeah.
We can't just give
them free. We have to be able to charge people for it. Yeah.
So I think there is energy everywhere. Yes.
They've made cars. I've seen two different, people that make things, inventors. Sorry. It's been a week. There's been two different inventors. One was in Japan and I can't remember where the other one was. One of them was able to make a car that can run off of water as its energy source.
Oh, yeah.
And one was the free energy, getting it out of the air and just going.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah, but you can't do that because we have to have energy companies and automotive. So how dare it?
Yeah,
how dare they? But
you know what? Like extraterrestrial civilizations see us as a prison planet.
I know,
because we still are using money. Money is just ridiculous.
At this point, it's still
stupid.
Useful because I can go to the store and give them, you know, $100 and I leave with a bunch of groceries. And when I go to work, they give me $100 to go to work. So there's this, I can't go to work and then leave with groceries. You know, so there has to be some kind of material in between. However,
it could be
if
bartering.
I'm up for that.
And you're doing what you love and everybody does what they love and we all help each other however we can and it just works out beautifully.
Yeah, but I don't want a new set of tires every week. You know,
I
there's some things I don't need a lot of and some things I don't want at all, but they might need my services. So it's hard to directly barter. But then you got this complex web. Now, I will say with the one thing that you brought up, the ETs, not me. So how dare you? you're going to regret that one. There was this incident that John Mack actually investigated. It happened with these school children over in Africa. You've probably read or seen
this. Yes, I heard about that. Yes.
The one thing that this hairy short guy says is, why are you polluting your air with your engines? Like, he tells this to the kids. He's like, why? And you think about it, it's like, well, that is kind of a obvious point to make. We're driving these internal combustion engines, and like you get behind the diesel truck and you're like, oh God, you can't roll up the window tight enough. Then you roll it down to get fresh air and you're damned if you do, because here comes more of that.
Right.
So, and that's obvious, but yet you get on the highway, you know, there's fumes you can't smell or see, carbon monoxide. It's coming right into your car from the car ahead of you. That's a great question. And it would be great if we could barter and, or have energy that we're just going to drive around on water. This is great. Although you think we're out of water. Yeah. Didn't we not just talk about the Rio Grande? Hello?
Yeah, the Rio Grande.
Now we're really screwed, right?
We're really screwed.
Well, you're really out of water then. Or your aquifers, you know, the Ogallala is even drier than it was before.
Yeah.
I think we're at a crossroads, though, here with our species. But doesn't everybody say this every 10 years? Oh my God, we're at a crossroads. It's crazy, but it's been crazy.
It's always
before.
Armageddon. I mean,
God, I know. Chicken Littles are well, think of how many clicks you get. This is the end and all this stuff. Switching gears, did you see all the Bill Gates stuff? He was going to trial and all the Epstein, Bill Gates connection stuff.
Really? Is he really?
Oh, well, he testified, voluntarily testified behind closed doors with no recording. So, you know, basically,
so, you know, he
said,
didn't say anything.
He said, here's your money. Good. What else do you need?
Yeah, right.
Oh, nothing. You're all good to go. Thanks for stopping in. But it's crazy times. This is how.
Talking about Bill Gates and the chemtrails and all the aluminum in the soil. And that's why heirloom seeds can't grow anymore. And they have to buy the Bill Gates GMO BS.
No, I got my heirloom tomatoes going nuts. Then, I got Brandywine's taking off.
Oh,
like
lucky.
Crazy.
That's good.
Well, why is that?
But the rest of the country, have you seen the videos where the farmers are like, look at this is my seeds that I've grown myself and they're not growing. And here's the stuff that they're making me grow and it grows. But the soil has entirely, like, I don't remember, five times or more aluminum in it than it has in the past, and it's making it not good oil for the regular stuff. And then there's the video I saw of these people trying to eat fruit, but it bends and doesn't break. That bends all the way back.
You got two different issues,
and, like,
but they're very
that
cool.
Can go in a circle.
I know.
I'm like, what the fuck?
I saw the watermelon.
That is not edible. Do not eat that.
I saw the watermelon. I'm like, what the rubber watermelon? This is crazy.
Right?
So let's dial this back just a little bit, because there have been contractual agreements between, like, farmers in India and Monsanto back in the 90s saying you will grow Roundup Ready cotton. And farmers were committing suicide like crazy because they lost the farm, basically. The seed. It's even better. Sign the contract. You have to give so much percent. You cannot use another seed. You have to use our seed. Okay, that that happened there, but with the seeds they're now planting, I grew up on a farm, a wheat farm. We drilled wheat, and the wheat came up every year. We use hard, you know, most of it's red wheat, hard red winter wheat.
Yeah.
But we had, you know, TAM-111 is a common one. But there's other varieties out there that tend to do better. You look at Norman Borlaug, what he did, Nobel Prize. He actually came up with these, like, middle. They weren't tall. They weren't short. They were, like, mid-height, giant heads. And they actually, the culm or the stalk was actually strong enough to hold the head. So it was this green revolution. It was, you know, better fertilizers. Mm-hmm. It was application to irrigation. And it was better genetics. And all this combined to make some really good varietals that Norman Borlaug helped. We still plant those same varietals today. And the aluminum content hasn't increased or decreased. To my knowledge, I did see the sulfur dioxide that they're spraying up in the atmosphere, all the sulfur. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to augment the, from what I understood, they were trying to augment the climate somehow. It wasn't necessarily to attack humans. However,
that's their fucking story.
Well, however, there's always side effects, correct?
Yeah.
Unintended consequences. So they might have been deliberate.
Yeah, right.
Oh, well, I mean, these things happen. Collateral damage, all these other terms, euphemisms to appease the people pissed off. Yes. But, well, there you go. You can call it like that. The aluminum problem's been there for a long time. And some plants will secrete, like, organic acids to sort of tie up the aluminum so then they can take up the other nutrients. Because aluminum toxicity is a real thing, and not just in humans with vaccines, but plants. Plants can get aluminum toxicity. Yeah. They can't acquire the nutrients they need. Everything from selenium and now nickel, not to that big of a degree, but iron is another big one. Or maybe it's just locked up and not bioavailable. So I think the aluminum hasn't, unless they're spraying aluminum, that would be interesting. Did you see that they're spraying aluminum?
Yes, and that's, okay. We watched the documentary about Superman, what's his name? Christopher Reeves.
Oh, yeah.
You know, okay.
With stem cells? I don't know.
Him and his family were outside all the time playing, doing stuff outside all the time, literally all the time. They were always outside.
Gotcha.
And then he passes. And then within 2 years, his wife got lung cancer and died. And did you know lung cancer is the biggest cancer of all cancers, all cancers combined, lung cancer has the most deaths, and it's linked to the shit that they're spraying, the crap that they're spraying.
Oh, I didn't know that.
From the chemtrails, it's the aluminum something that is linked to this lung cancer that everybody's getting.
What about smoking? Did they factor this in? I mean, you have confounding factors here, right? Because you got the shitty air, and then you got the shitty air.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how do you tease those apart?
Yeah, but she didn't smoke, but she was outside all the time. And then after she wasn't taking care of Christopher anymore, then she gets sick within a few months, and then she's gone within 2 years.
What if she was stressed out and secretly smoking Camels on the side? Well, I don't, maybe they're gonna say that. Well, I don't know. Okay, let me, I'm gonna jot that down. I'm gonna go do a little research and see what they're doing with this.
Okay, you should.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of things I'm trying to learn on this bio show, and not just from me, but from you. I try to teach myself, and I just don't listen to me because sometimes I say the wrong stuff.
Yeah,
I make mistakes.
Well, you know, you don't know, and that's the thing about having an open mind. So that you can check, and then you'd be like, oh, well, she was right, or she was wrong, or whatever, discernment.
At least be open to it. Yeah, at least say, shrug your shoulders. You know, the problem is, sometimes, I'm not saying everybody does this. Oh, I already know. No, that's stupid. Right? And they walk away. How do you talk with people like that? You can't even talk that way.
You can't.
As a PhD trained scientist, I'm open to, of course, ETs, duh, but chemtrails, the Bill Gates crap, the COVID shit's like, hello, did you not see it? Event 201. There's like so many. Follow the money. Look at the insider trading and 9/11. All this stuff. You're like, but as a trained PhD, some of these are just, they're so by the textbook, they don't let other ideas in. There's no other ideas that come in. And this is this, but this is the irony. Science says to stay open. You know, this is the structure of scientific revolutions by Kuhn. This is what Thomas Kuhn says. You have to be open, no matter how ridiculous it is. If the data all points that way, you got to kind of shrug and say, maybe we need to change. It's called a paradigm shift. Yes. I think this is what's happening with vaccines right now. Go ahead. I'll start going off on vaccines.
Yeah, and a lot of stuff. Like, okay, there's this one series on Netflix that Kenny and I have been watching. It's babies, and it talks about their experiments in learning more about babies and their, like, developmental stages and everything, right? Okay. So one of them was about how fast they grow, because they just always assumed it was, like, you know, a curve, you know, just a nice, beautiful curve.
Are you talking grow, like, head size, body size, brain?
Yeah, yeah, like body size.
Oh, okay, body size.
And so, and they, one of the scientists, maybe a couple scientists, but one that they spotlighted on this, or, you know, showcased on this was taking measurements every single day to see exactly what happened, you know? And she'd be like, oh, wow, they jumped an inch overnight, or even an inch and a half overnight. But then there's days where no growth, and then there's another little spurt, and then there's nothing, and then a little spurt. And it's like, she also asks questions like, how did they sleep? Did they have any, you know, any kind of symptoms that, you know, like, are they fussy? Are they, you know, what?
What was this? Where did you see this at?
It's on Netflix, on a series called Babies.
Huh. Okay.
And one of the episodes was about mother's milk, and not only in humans, in mammals as well. And that was a fascinating episode too, because it's different for girls and for boys, and all sorts of other stuff.
I'm sorry, you lost me there. The mother's milk for mammals. So mammals make milk. That's why they're mammals. And what comes out in their milk, you're saying it's different if it's a male or female getting
the milk?
It's
a different makeup. Yes, yes, it's a different makeup for a male or a female in humans. I don't know about animals.
Okay, so let's just hold on a second.
You have to watch this.
Well, hold on. I'm just trying to understand the backstory. Okay. So a lady has a baby. It's a daughter. Yay, I got a daughter. She breastfeeds. Mm-hmm. The lady, 2 years later, let's not assume they're Irish twins. 2 years later, she has a son. Breastfeeds, it's breast milk, but that's two different types of breast milk?
Yes.
How so? What's the difference between the breast milk?
I can't remember, but it's more nourishing if it's a boy, because they figure they need more strength and stamina and stuff, I think. Should watch it.
Okay, watch it. I'm just going to read an article on it. I'm not into TV.
I know, you'll just skip right through it. You won't catch anything.
I do that. How did you know that? I cannot sit still long enough Just give me the facts, ma'am. Yeah, just the facts.
I'll have to watch it again and take notes so I can better inform you.
And the rest of America.
Fast forward through me. Yeah, right?
We're up to 1.2 million views. I mean, we're going to be doubling here every year. We'll be the 7.2 factor. Yeah, you got it. There's a couple million. Yep. Well, we're at a million, but I think there's a lot of people curious to know what's going on. We got to stay updated. Hey, the other thing that I was going to tell you.
Yeah.
Well, no, I was just going to say.
I had something else too, but we'll get back to it.
Well, we're on milk glands, and, you know, I've studied a little milk. Did you know these are just modified sweat glands? Like, over evolutionary history? Yeah. It's just like, it used to just be like, oh, man, I'm leaking salt. And then it was like, oh, I need to leak salt and protein out of this little gland. A really weird evolutionary adaptation. But, okay, what else were you
going to say? Yeah, right. Back to the 5G stuff. Did you know that it's not really for better cell phone service? Really, it only reaches like 25 feet, and that's why they have to have so many different towers, because they don't throw energy far enough, you know? But also then there's this YouTube person, Into Thin Air, that in the past, I don't know if they have recently, I haven't been watching him, but I think it was last year, I think it was only just last year, he was watching the radar on the United States, and it started at like 9 p.m. and it would go till, I don't know, a little bit in the morning, like 2 or 3 in the morning, where like the most populated areas he was tracking like the radar signals, like, you know, 5G shows up on radar, and it was pulsating like they were finding people while they sleep. And he kept watching it for weeks and weeks. And as it went, it got to be like 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And I don't know if they're still doing it or what, but oh my gosh.
Hey, okay. Cool. I don't, you know what? I don't doubt it, because I've seen posts like threads, and I've heard this myself. If you get up at, like, I'm an insomniac, so I'll get up at 2 a.m., 4 a.m., mm-hmm. and I hear.
Right.
It's a humming at night, right? And it goes and goes, yeah, and mm-hmm. goes. And I've always wondered, first of all, everyone's asleep. So how does this impact mm-hmm. their sleep cycle, right? We all know that goes through, the brain yeah. waves change. You go alpha, beta, gamma, delta. And then what's the frequency of those waves? And then how does outside frequency interrupt, like, dreams? In DARP, you've heard of this, DARPA?
Yeah.
Or HARP. DARPA was one of these things that they were trying to figure out how to, like, take over the world just from, like, mm-hmm. Broadcasting energy from one location. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you take over people's minds?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you're onto something.
Storms, too.
Storms?
That's how they steer the storms, where they
want
to go to.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I've tried figuring this out. I am at a dead end with the, can they geoengineer, or not geoengineer, but can they induce, like, earthquakes, like, across the other side of the earth? Mm-hmm. Now, Tesla, not to come back to this guy, but didn't he say something like, I could crack the earth in half? Didn't he say something like that?
Wow.
And didn't, when he died, didn't the U.S. government come in and take all those files? When he died.
Yeah, you know who got them?
Trump. Mm-hmm. Who?
The uncle. Mm-hmm.
The uncle? Yeah. What now?
Yeah.
Wait, Tesla's Trump's uncle?
No.
What? I'm lost.
Uncle was the one.
Uncle?
I don't remember what his name is.
Biden?
Yes. Mm-hmm. No.
Oh. I don't know who got him. I don't know. And I, it's either Trump or Biden.
Yeah, that's okay.
I don't know. Maybe it's Biden with a mask. I don't know. No, I have, you know, you start digging into this stuff, and you're like, oh my God. You know, this whole idea with, like, money, and you brought money up earlier, but it is literally like a payment to shut people up. Like, here's your money, keep doing your job, go play and have your mm-hmm. playtime. But sometimes if people stop and they start looking at things, holy shit, this is just all bonkers.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's a lonely world. Sure. Unless you listen to the bio show, then it's like, oh my God, they talk about all the stuff that I've been reading about.
People like me.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Hey, and I'm going to figure out, this would be a great moment to, like, say, hey, the bio show, 321-336-6678, that's the phone number. But we also have the bioshow.com. We need to figure out this deal where you and I can talk and we can get phone calls jumping in as we talk.
Yeah.
I ran into people and told them, I said, I do this little fun little podcast once a week. They wanted to call. They're like, tell me when to call. They have, like, and they're experts in these other areas. That's what we got to do next. We got to start letting some other people talk and share them.
Yeah.
I think we're going to expand though to 2 hours. That's what's going to happen. They start talking.
Wow.
Well, I think that's okay.
Yeah, right.
People want to hear it. People want to hear it.
Yep.
And
definitely.
We got some. What topics are we coming up on? Any other goofy stuff we want to talk about, or is it all? I mean, like next, not today, but next week. This is supposed to be our news. Well, I'm not the poo-poo party pooper.
Shoot. Well,
what do you have topics today or next week? Like, hey, we have things we have to look up. I jotted those down.
Oh, what remember, else? Yes, we were supposed to look, we were supposed to be talking about, oh shoot, you said it, let me look.
Yeah, well, look at your again. Notes. Look at your iPad and see what you scribbled down. That's one thing.
They've proven that people that actually physically write notes down actually remember the stuff better than people that just type it in their phone or on their laptop. Or
clearly you didn't write that down. Yeah, that's true. No, one of the things I have my students do is I actually give them 1 point per page per outline, and they can do 3 pages per chapter. And 1 page is one side of an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. You have to physically hand write it. And and I give them extra, you can, and so we do, if it's 15 chapters in an 11-week period, times 3, it's 45 extra points. So it's a lot of extra points. Because I know the benefit. It, they don't think of it. They just like, oh, I got to do it. But then they're like, hey, I remember this stuff way better since I wrote it down.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, all the pedagogy stuff suggests that.
I remembered what it was.
Ding, ding, the sauna
and then vitamins.
Yeah, we should totally. Did you hit the sauna today or no?
Yeah.
You did?
No, I don't have it. No,
but
I
you
don't.
Hit the.
You did recently,
Oh yeah, I hit it every day. It's
nice.
You know, the skin is an excretory organ. I did not realize this, but
yeah,
it is the
and
largest.
And it absorbs too.
Oh my! Oh, does it, it ever? I'm no frog, but I do absorb things through the skin. And I'll tell you what. the other thing too. The other thing is, I go in there maybe 20 minutes. And it is 173 to 175. And when I first go in, it's just hot. And I'm, ooh, man. But then.
Is it a wet sauna? Or
no,
dry?
It's dry sauna. It's dry sauna with the wood and everything.
Oh,
now,
man.
There are steam. I know I like steam sauna, but I'm telling you what, that steam gets to me a lot faster than a dry sauna.
Yeah, that's why I like it better.
I thought about getting, you can buy those little ones. I thought, man, that's really good. You know that for the spike protein detox, this is the hot thing right now. It's like detox from that spike. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows how long this thing stays in. People are now saying you don't have to take the natokinase to help decoagulate these little blood clots and stuff. You can do a sweat. Mm. You can do a sweat period, whether it's working out or a dry sauna or what's up. Yeah. And I thought, geez, I must have zero spike because I've been sweating every day, and people bring in these half-gallon containers in and of water.
But what about the graphene oxide? Can you sweat that out?
I don't know.
You probably need the stuff to pull that stuff out.
Yeah, I don't know if I think that exists or not. And you do?
It's in the clot shot.
Oh, it's in the patent. But does that mean they included it with the clot shot? Probably, huh?
Yeah, they did.
And what does it do? What's the point of the graphene oxide?
Well, it reassembles after it's warm enough in your system, and it's also magnetic, and it's a transponder.
Okay. This is some new ground here. I will admit this, I did see some people after they got the clot shot walked around and put magnets on their arms. This is like something that went... Now, but hold on a second. I also know there was a lot of aluminum in those shots. Is this the case? Is it aluminum?
Oh,
and it's some people it stayed localized, and some people I think it depends what they hit in the arm. Like if they hit muscle tissue, it stayed local. But if they were to hit one of the main veins or arteries, it went systemic.
Yeah,
and
right.
Those were the people that really got jacked up. It was like an instant jolt.
Right. Oh, my God.
So that's why I guess it worked. But I was in an impression it was aluminum, like a heavy dose of aluminum. But the graphene, is that a metal? I thought that was carbon.
Oxide. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not exactly clear on
which it is. Because I thought graphene, I thought it was kind of like the buckyball
graphene
thing.
Graphene oxide.
Huh. I thought it was just an arrangement
like my
of
new,
carbon.
I got a new sunshade for my car because the other one did not do a dang thing at all. But this one has graphene as the outer layer, and it helps disperse and like keep stuff out of the car. I can't wait to try it tomorrow.
Hey, do you wear sunscreen or no?
No, that stuff will cause cancer.
See, and that's what I've been telling everybody too, and they're like, "Oh, just whatever."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but all the parabens, all the phthalates, the scent molecules,
all the other
in
it.
It's whack.
Yeah, and plus your body is meant to.
Vitamin
soak
D.
Up some of the like
vitamin
early
D.
morning light.
Yeah.
Early morning light changes your biology physically.
It does. It's true.
Yeah.
And the pineal gland's very receptive to that too, as far as the melatonin secretion.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But hey, how do you you know, look at all the topics we could talk about, but how do you, is this open-mindedness thing, is this something people are born with? Or can you take a student who enters college and like pry their head open and dump this knowledge in? Or what if they resist? Like,
I think everybody is born with it, but I think it depends on their environment if they're going to keep that or if it's going to be shut down.
You mean like part of the school system, or like the kindergartners?
Both.
Kindergartners are really curious, like naturally. They'll just walk around. Like, mm-hmm. You turn 20 kindergartners
asking
loose in a field.
Questions.
Yeah, they just go wander in a field, and you're like, geez, it's herding cats with these. But you think something happens along the way, K-12, that's mm-hmm. kind of shut down in them?
Yeah. Trauma, all sorts of different other things, too.
How mm-hmm. did you do in high school? Did you do pretty good?
Yeah.
I mean, were you you paid attention and all that?
Yeah. Studied and all that.
Mm-hmm. How did you get through? And yet you came out on the other side and you're like, whoa. I mean, did you have a moment where you're like, oh my God, the world is not what I thought it was? Or have you always been like, I'm going to look into that?
No, I've always been like this. Yeah. I always knew things before. Yeah.
So they just never took, it's just never got
like,
taken from you.
There was this conversation. I don't know if it was a dream or if it really happened, but we were very, very young and my brother and I are in the back seat of the car. And I told him, I was like, you know, war is just stupid because it's all about God. And they're all saying that it's their God is the right God, but it's really all one God. And they're all just being retarded.
How old were you? How old were you when you said that?
I don't know. He was born, so I had to have been at least 5 or 6. For me to talk to
That's
him.
Precocious.
Yeah.
That's smarter. You know, that's better than the world leaders might say.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, right.
Well, who knows? They're all... Yeah, but... I wonder how much money plays in a part in people being coerced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
there's that two-book system that if you like to read that Blackmail of a Nation 1 and 2, Volume 1 and 2 by Whitney Webb, she breaks it all down and shows exactly where the money's been going. And did you know that we've been giving the Taliban millions and millions of dollars every week? Like $84 million a week. I don't remember.
Like to buy popsicles or what? What are they buying?
No.
What are they getting? That's a lot of popsicles. What are they buying with that money?
I shudder to think. I have no idea.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, and I'm always, you know, my problem is I've always been full of questions. And mm-hmm. I asked if you did well, because it's like, how do people that come out straight A students still question mechanism?
Well, I wasn't a straight A student. I mean,
well, or just somebody that paid attention and did well. I was almost a high school dropout.
Yeah.
Like I should have failed.
Wow.
I was horrible.
Wow.
I have the record for the most missed classes. I gave the wrong phone number on enrollment day, and they called. Some poor old lady finally called at the end of my senior year. Who keeps calling my house? Your son or daughter's missed one or more classes. You know, the recording. And then they were like, oh, what's the phone number? And they somehow mined me out of their, you know, paper database way back in the 90s. And they're like, oh, that's Sam's. Oh, man, did I get it. They're like, you have missed the most days ever. And nobody,
oh my gosh.
I just needed English. Wow. At any rate, I missed all the indoctrination stuff. Like, I just didn't pay attention. I sat in the back.
Right.
My eyes were bad. I couldn't see the board. I used a black highlighter in my notebook. All the wrong things, right? You're not supposed to do this stuff. And I graduated and worked a bunch of crap jobs for a year, joined the Army, get kicked out of that, and then I found the university. I'm like, oh my God, there's these things called cells. You know, everything was new to me as a 19-year-old freshman in college. And I'm like, this is crazy. So I was weird that I navigated through all the crap by just, you know, single parent and all this stuff. Nobody's keeping tabs on me.
Mm-hmm.
I skipped so much. And you come out on the other side and you think, good thing I didn't pay attention. I just didn't pay attention.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I think what really bugs me is there's still people that they do well and you say, hey, did you see this? Oh, I don't even want to talk about it. Well, then how do you, what is this? I thought you were supposed to, it's really frustrating for me as a science teacher because the whole vaccine debacle right now, I'm like, I don't think any of them work. There might be some that work, but you got to prove to me right now, my running thesis behind them all is hygiene and nutrition. I mean, the Amish have zero rates of autism and it's like, we're obviously doing more damage than good at this point. One of 32 kids now somewhere on the spectrum, the aluminum, hello. And Peter McAuliffe just came out with risk factors for autism paper, you know, the 80 some page report that this current Trump administration looked at and said, oh, wow, we're going to dial the vaccines back. This guy's onto something. Him and his team, you know, Nick Holcher and all, everybody there at the McAuliffe Foundation. Where's the news on this? Where's the thinking? Where's the questioning? I bring this one thing up. Boom. Be quiet. Your conspiracy. What happened? I've had PhD colleagues tell me, don't even talk about vaccines anymore. Quit talking about them.
That's ridiculous.
Wait a minute. I thought this was science. It's really bizarre. And you know, this is part of the scientific method, being open. Now, I do let them teach their stuff, and I still teach some things that you might be like, oh my God, you teach that. But I also let the students decide. I don't push an agenda. I just say right now, there's a debate right now, whether they're good or bad and which ones are good. There are some that show some efficacy in certain populations. But the whole vaccine thing to me is just like, it's one of the biggest scams ever in history. And the COVID thing woke me up.
Yeah.
It really, with the vaccine stuff, I'm like, wait a minute, this is corrupt.
The fact that All of those companies have total immunity.
Yeah, 1986. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That right there's like a red flag.
And right there.
Well, it's like Aaron Siri says, he's like, "What other product in this whole country do you get paid before you even make it? You get paid regardless if people take it or not. Your check is coming to the company no matter what. And then people you're going to have to get them to take it because to attend the school." And then they can't touch you if it blows up. Like if Ford starts making all these crappy cars and they blow up, you can't do anything about it. Well, this is the one product here that you can't do anything about it, apparently. That's why I just, I'm not, we don't do that stuff here. But
No.
A lot of people I know. And this is the other problem. If some are good, suppose some are good, you've scared them away from 100% of them.
Right. Maybe I don't trust them at all anymore.
Well, but maybe the 10% that are good, maybe those would have helped. But you've pushed it, you know, the companies, the biopharmaceutical complex has pushed it too far.
Yeah, way too far.
So now people are saying 100% I'm done. Whereas maybe I did see the RSV, the respiratory syncytial virus, is mRNA based. Moderna put one
Aren't
of those
they
out.
All now?
I think those are the only two, but they rushed that through. There was no check or balance for no long-term studies. It was just like, boom, it's here. Here's our vaccine for the RSV. It's mRNA.
But then if you go and dig into the childhood ones, was there any safety, real safety trials done on those? I don't believe so.
No, because their metric for comparison is another vaccine. So there's something with absolute risk and relative risk. And they don't use absolute risk. They use relative risk. So if you have a vaccinated group compared to a vaccinated group, how do you determine how... Let's say 10 people are harmed out of 100 from a vaccine. And you compare them to another group where 8 people out of 100 were harmed. Then they will say 2 people might have been harmed, you know, 2%. Of course, it's a lot closer than that, right? It's like
this audio has been terminated due to violations of the bio show.